Coming up on today's show, we revisit a couple of the comments involving Bob Iger. We dive into a couple of hot topics concerning various things over the Walt Disney Company. That's coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 412 of Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host this week. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Adam.
Oh, what's up, everybody?
How are we doing today?
Excellent.
Excellente.
Yeah.
Jason could not be with us tonight, so it'll be just the... two originals, I guess, where it all started.
The OGs.
Well, the anniversary is coming up anyway. It was just us when it first started. So that's coming up August the 2nd, actually. We made 6 years was the six-year anniversary of our first episode.
Wow.
Which, if you go to the website, you can still find. I think that's the only place you can find it.
Right. To me, that means... A great movie ride closed almost 6 years ago.
That's true.
It was like our second episode was talking about Great Movie Ride.
Yes, that's true. It was, wasn't it?
I think it was.
See, our very first episode was about that D23 that year because there was tons of announcements.
Yeah, that was a big D23.
Yeah.
Back in 2017.
Yep, 2017.
It's been a while.
I think most of that actually has been built.
Not that theater on Main Street. Remember that one?
Oh, yes, I do remember that. Not those droids, free-roaming droids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, maybe we should do a look back over the six years ago. What were we thinking then?
Yeah, I think we did that last year, though, for the five-year. We're losing track of time. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So I would kind of like to start off by giving a little bit of a... Not really a correction, but kind of adding to something I said last week.
You listened back to the episode.
Yeah, I listened back to it. Really, when I listened back, I thought it was worse than it really was. I was like, no, that's kind of the point I wanted to make. But I kind of wanted to, I guess, it's not really clarify, but it's like there was some stuff I feel like I omitted concerning the actors' writer's strike, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what I was trying to convey with what Iger's comments really is almost verbatim what Iger said. You know, He understands unions and people wanting to get the what's best for them and what's the most for them. But I think what I was saying he was trying to convey was, you know, the timing is that, you know, we basically just got back on track for, you know, some summer movies. People were starting to go back, right? And movies were starting to see, you know, an increase in attendance, right?
Sure.
And for the first time since COVID. And I think what he was trying to convey is, you know, wanting to get what you're worth is fine, but at this particular time, you're hurting the overall profession by the timing of this, is basically, I think, what he was trying to convey.
Yeah.
Because
it's a very corporate answer, but yes, he's not completely wrong.
He's not completely wrong. I'm just saying, you know, before, whenever they did it, it wasn't like they were in a period where people were going to hurt, is what I'm trying to say. But let's be honest, most people this time around just don't care. I mean, you see what I mean? Like, the timing is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, when is a good time to fight for your fair wage? But
I saw what I'm saying. I get that too.
You can't pay rent. When's the? I'll keep waiting. I'll get kicked out, but yeah, it'll be fine. We'll be on the street picketing anyway.
Well, that's a whole. I mean, like I said, that's a lot of moving parts into what that problem is, because as we've started to see with wages, when wages increase, prices go up too. So that's kind of how things have gone, right?
Well, I don't know. The other thing, though, that we didn't really talk about, too, that I remember hearing that they wanted some sort of language in contracts is about AI. I think they were concerned that studios are just going to use AI to write scripts and try to cut writers altogether.
You mean they haven't been doing that already?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, my thing though is well, my point with that is I was like, some of the stories in recent years have been pretty crappy for the most part. So
we can use AI is what you're saying to write better stories?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying is like, if they're already using it, then there's a problem. If they're not, then well, maybe they should.
The director emails to John at travelingwiththemouse.com, not anyone else. No. No,
I'm actually against AI in all seriousness. Well, in all seriousness, I'm against AI writing entire scripts. Let's put it that way.
Sure. I mean, the thing is, it will do it. If you tell it, write me a script for a movie, it'll do it in like 30 seconds.
Right.
But is it going to be good? Not necessarily. From what I've seen, it can write really well, but it doesn't necessarily come up with something original. It's basing its knowledge on stuff it's already learned that's already out there.
Right.
So it's not necessarily going to come up with something brand new, but again, with time...
What's brand new?
Anything's possible. Right.
Pretty much all been done anyway, right?
It's all been done.
Yep. Now, we're not like seconds away from Skynet going online or anything like that, so...
No. But a lot of people's jobs could be replaced by AI in the near future. I think that's a fear of a lot of people.
Yeah.
It could be.
It's a possibility.
It gets better and better. I've been surprised by some of the things I've gotten out of it just recently, so...
I actually just saw an article that suggested that ChatGPT was getting worse, actually, particularly with its mathematical calculations or something that recently...
Possibly.
I don't know.
I haven't tried
anyway
a lot of those, but...
Again, it was just a story that I saw in passing. I didn't pay it much attention because I just didn't care, pretty much.
Okay.
I didn't care to... I was like, oh, that's interesting. Scroll on. Keep going. On another note,
okay,
I did encounter somebody just today in my job.
Okay.
That it just so happened I noticed he was wearing a DVC related shirt.
Okay.
Like a shirt that like Nate from like Paging Mr. Morrow would wear, if you know who I'm referring to.
Yes.
He had just gotten back, apparently. He had made the comment, he was like, you know, my experience was probably one of the worst I've ever had overall. I was like, really? Because he said he'd been seeing stuff about how the crowds were down and all that good stuff. And he said, but, you know, wait times haven't really been affected by the crowd being low. Wait times still are up. And, you know, he didn't have the best experience with a dining experience. The one he mentioned, though, which I was a little surprised by because I was like, wow, I've always had good experiences there. He said, Liberty Tree Tavern.
Yeah. Okay. What was bad about it?
I don't think it was so much the quality or anything. You know how a lot of times with food, the saying is that if it looks good, it tastes good, right? So, you know, appearance matters.
Okay.
When it comes to food, right?
Yeah.
He just said compared to what he had before, you know, they've always served it family style, but he said they basically like brought everything out on one giant platter, like it was all thrown together almost. It was like,
okay.
I was trying to remember in my head. I was like, I don't remember everything being together like that quite, but
I mean,
it was served family style. So I was like, I thought they did kind of bring it out that way.
I'm still trying to, what's the problem? Like, I'm still trying to, it's all going to the same place.
I think what he was saying, like visually, it was almost looked as though they had like scraped it, like taken leftovers and scraped it all out there on it or something like that. But I asked something about the taste, and he didn't say anything about the taste, and I was like, okay.
Presentation
maybe they needed to work on their presentation with it, but...
I know what he's talking about because I ate at Diamond Horseshoe recently, and it's the same, basically the same food. It's very little difference, if any. And let's see if I have a picture of it, but yeah, it's all the food, not the sides, but the main course stuff was all thrown in one big platter together, but they do that at most, like the breakfast at Ohana or Garden Grill. Isn't it all in one big platter, like
most,
one big skillet?
Yeah.
So I don't
everything
see
except
the
for the starter, which was the cinnamon bread.
Right. Not every single thing, of course. Yeah. So I don't know why.
I was kind of, when he said what he, I was like, well, I don't, it's like, I think they kind of always did something similar, but, you know, I didn't want to obviously get into that, but.
Sure.
But anyway, it was just a perspective that I kind of get the crowd part. Like, you go there and I was like, because like when I was there, I noticed that when I was walking around, it seemed like there were fewer people there.
Yeah.
But it didn't really, the wait times were literally like no different, it seemed. very little different than it usually is.
Like, I mean, it's certain like things.
Yeah, it's almost like they've engineered the wait time to be the same no matter what the crowd is.
Yeah, we've talked about this for a while. They definitely seem to do that. And there's probably different ways that they do it. One, I would think now that they have Genie Plus, is they probably add more Genie Plus inventory on days when it's not as crowded, so that more people will use it and offset the, and make the standby longer, therefore.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed, like, I've been kind of doing a lot of paying attention to it this week because a friend of mine is there doing the four parks in 4-day ticket. And the wait times were lower overall, but Jungle Cruise still got up to like 75 minutes. Mine Train wasn't an hour and a half. It was more like 70 minutes or 80 maybe at the peak of the day. But it's a little bit lower than normal, but not much lower. But I did notice Genie Plus was super easy to get anything. I was able to get a Space Mountain to move to basically an instant. I was able to get Jungle Cruise to move, which is very hard to do when it's crowded these days. Jungle Cruise like goes immediately. I got a Peter Pan to do the same thing, so.
Now, to be fair, that's hard to move when it's truly crowded, not just has a long wait.
Right. But, sure. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't see any issue today as we're recording this. He did Animal Kingdom, but I didn't give away the date.
Whatever. Just whatever helps you sleep at night.
Sure. But there was no issues getting any Lightning Lanes, like any order. Of course, now they're separated by park. So I imagine if you buy us Animal Kingdom only, you're probably narrowing it down a little bit more to make it a little bit easier, which is probably a good thing overall if you're not park hopping, to just buy the one park and that's your park for the day, and it probably is a little bit easier. So yeah, it wasn't difficult, so it doesn't seem crowded. I'll talk to him more after to get more details on that trip, but interesting. Yeah, it doesn't seem crowded, but yet yes, the wait times, yeah, that's my theory, is
right,
capacity could be one where they lower it a little bit, but also I think they're adding additional Genie Plus to try and increase the wait, but also give more Genie Plus value, I guess.
Did you happen to catch that video that I shared in our little group message? It was from the TPM vids, that
TPM vids.
Yeah.
Well, you're familiar with that one. It's time for
TPM vids, Disney Beat.
Yes. My son loves TPM vids.
That guy has a really good voice for his channel, does he not? He speaks well.
Yeah. He's got a memorable voice.
Right.
For sure. Well,
it was the one where he was talking about hot takes, right?
Yes. He does those.
You know, the subject itself, even though I know they came up with it and created it, I feel like we could probably, you know, discuss these takes, right? Because they are takes that people have. We're not like stealing from him or anything if we do that, right?
Yeah.
Because these are takes that are within the Disney community. But what was interesting to me, that among them, and I'm trying to look at it right now so I can remember which ones were off the top of my head, but since we were talking about crowds, among them was the wait times. He mentioned that. And talking about Genie Plus in general, right? His take I kind of agreed with. He was saying how the wait times would likely become more manageable and reasonable if they actually raised the price of Genie Plus, because it would make it where people would be, you know, more to think about it, less likely not be quite as many in Genie Plus, and actually help even things out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of agree with that strategy, really, because right now they're kind of, if you look at it, Disney actually charges less for a paid skip the line than anybody.
But their ticket price is higher.
Right, but their ticket price is higher. So
per most places.
But, well, not as much as it once was. Like, say, for instance, you know, Universal's day for a day is not that much lower. But
yeah, Universal's pretty on par. But
their Express Pass is on up there.
Yeah, any other park or attraction place is usually about half the daily price as Disney. It's like 70 to 80 bucks. But once you get in, like San Diego Zoo, I mentioned that last week, $70-ish to get in. But once you're in, you're paying way more than Disney for food, beverage, for any kind of extra feature or extra, what do you want to call it, like event or anything like that. It's like way more than Disney. Six Flags, as Jason showed, the Six Flags Skip the Line thing was really expensive.
Yeah, well, he said that, but I mean, when he was showing that, I was thinking, doesn't it get you straight to the front with that? And I was curious, is that first one that was so much? I was like, is that all day or is that one time? Because if it's all day, that's not that bad.
Well, really? Even still, though, Six Flags takes forever to load and unload their rides compared to Disney. But
yeah, I mean, still, you're skipping the line that everyone else is in.
Sure, but it's Disney's lines are way longer in general, so.
Anyway,
all right.
I thought what was interesting was some of these takes in this video, though, were ones that we've sort of discussed before, but I found them interesting that he got these because of basically what people commented on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, let's see, one of the first ones here is, and this seems to be actually a rather popular one here lately, that Michael Eisner was better than Bob Iger.
Yeah.
That's one that you could say yes and no.
I mean, people who are our age definitely have a soft spot for Eisner, I guess. At least looking back. It's kind of like the Star Wars prequels. You didn't love it while you were watching them, like in theaters or whatever, while they were just out. But you look back much more fondly on them now.
Well, that's... I guess so, but I mean, I never had a problem with Eisner while he was there, even though I think some people may have at times, but I never did.
Well, he certainly increased prices as time went on, and he probably kept it where it should have been, honestly, price-wise, but...
You know one thing that I tied to him that I never thought about before?
What?
The year, like the 5-year celebrations were the best under Michael Eisner.
Actually, yeah. I mean, I remember a lot of them.
I was going to say, because I looked back and I was like, the very first one that happened during his tenure was the 15th. And that one was the first one that was really big. You know what I mean? The 15th mm-hmm. anniversary. It had a memorable song.
It was big.
You could win prizes every 15 minutes or something like that. They gave away a car at some point, like that stuff. I mean, it was his celebration stuff was one of the most memorable.
Yeah. Even love it or hate it, the cake for the 25th, like Cake Castle, still remember it.
Yeah.
I vividly remember
that.
Yeah,
right. Now that one, that particular aspect of it was interesting, but it was also half done.
Sure, yeah, the backside didn't look
great. I guess they weren't going to bother with the backside because they were thinking, like, we just need the image, the visual, because we're not going to leave this here, obviously. Right.
But still, it was there for a year and a half, right? Anyway. But they had a song with every big anniversary, and it was a whole thing.
A catchy one with that.
Right, yeah, they were all good, yeah.
The 15th, the 20th, and the 25th had songs that had tunes you remember, so.
Did they have anything for the 50th? Did they have a song?
Not that I remember.
I can't, if I do, it didn't stick with me.
I guess the closest one was supposed to be what they used in Enchantment. right?
Yeah. Oh,
you are
right.
the magic.
That
was the closest thing.
That wasn't catchy enough.
Well, I mean, I didn't hate Enchantment like you guys did, but I thought Enchantment was still a good show, but so does Happily Ever After or something.
Happily Ever After is a million times better.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I keep hearing from this side, but I mean,
it is. It's
a million. Is. I don't know if I go to a million times better, but whatever.
100,000, 199.
What I was going to say is the suggestion in this video.
Yeah.
For the price of Genie Plus, since I got that one, that was the next hot take on there.
Mm-hmm.
Was to put it at he said to put it at about $120 per person.
Per day?
Uh-huh.
No.
I actually agree with it being higher. Like I said, I would love for the regular, I would love for the regular queue to have a lower weight. That's just me. That's the way it should be.
Because you don't want to buy
have,
Genie Plus?
No. Should have a more accurate weight. More people
then just
have
get
a better,
rid of it altogether.
People, no more. Well, okay. Well, that's what we proved that actually did work. It actually did lower the wait times.
It did.
We proved that during COVID.
$120 a person per day. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's still less than Express Pass.
But Express Pass is different.
So you're not thinking of terms in the greater good. You're thinking of you because still pay it.
Yeah, but I'd pay it a lot less doing that way.
Yeah.
But you're already paying a lot just to be at Disney compared to Universal. Hotel is going to be more expensive. Universal,
not that much
though,
more.
Express Pass, though,
is included with the top tier.
And you don't have to pick your times and use the app and do all this stuff. Like,
see, that's
way
really,
more work.
That's one thing that's a much better deal than Disney, right, Express Pass. You automatically get it if you have a deluxe resort.
Right.
And the deluxe resorts are at the very least on par with Disney's deluxe resorts, and you get Express Pass.
Well, yeah,
maybe Disney
should
consider doing that for the deluxe.
That's why Disney should not increase the price of Genie to that much. You know it's going to go up to probably like 50 at some point, probably this Christmas, New Year's.
So instead
it'll hit
what
like
they
50.
Yeah, but so instead what they did was they had deluxe after hours.
Yeah.
Which was the deluxe after hours worth it? You just recently did it.
Did it do what you
were hoping it would do?
Kind of.
You can't say without a doubt that it was a good deal.
Not really either, to be honest. It was better at Epcot, but it still wasn't great.
For starters, at Epcot, you didn't have Living with the Land.
Yeah, right. That's one thing. Wasn't
it's
there.
One mark against
we missed
them.
That by 5 minutes. By the time we walked over there, it just closed. Guardians was decent. It wasn't super busy. But we could, Test Track had closed, but it was rainy. It was like rainy, that's why. So we couldn't do that. But I don't know. We didn't take very much advantage of it. And then at Magic Kingdom, we spent the first 40 minutes waiting in line for Tron. So I didn't really feel like it was that great of a benefit. So yeah, if they had more of them, they really need to do one at Hollywood Studios. Like, they need one at all four parks, but I guess Animal Kingdom, maybe not, but they need at least Hollywood Studios on a rotating throughout the week with the other two. But,
well, whatever. I mean, I know we talked about this not too long ago when I did my trip report, but, you know, the paid events, mm-hmm. right?
Right, because you did Epcot.
They're talking about bringing the paid one back for Hollywood Studios. No, what was it? Hollywood Studios already has a paid one.
Yeah.
No, they were talking about bringing the deluxe after hours for Hollywood Studios back, I think is what it was.
Okay.
In the near future. You know how they have it there right now? They just have it at Magic Kingdom and Epcot.
Yeah.
We're talking about bringing
it for Hollywood
Studios.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, is they need to do that because they need more options. I think that was the problem. If you're a weekend stayer at a deluxe, you're not going to be able to do either one because it's Monday and Wednesdays.
Well, let's just be honest. They're not going to put it on a weekend.
Do Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, there's totally.
It's after hours, though. Like, why? How is that interfering with anything?
They're not going to do it. I'm just telling you. They're not going to do it.
But why?
Because they're not going to do it.
Who's that hurting? It's not hurting any guests.
Maybe they're scheduling, except for your employees that...
but it's... I mean, you're paying them to be there.
Are they?
Well, hopefully they're paying them to be there. But anyway, I mean, I say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, have But you could also have it rotate, so it's not always the same park every day. I don't know. But at least do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Hollywood Studios on Friday, Magic Kingdom on Monday, Epcot on Wednesday, but whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so what was I about to say with that? Oh, yeah, after my experience with the Epcot After Hours, paid after hours, it wasn't what I had hoped it would be, and I would not do it again. That's me. Yeah.
How many hours? It's 3 hours?
Well, the part, you can officially get in the park at 7, right?
Right. But the actual event part is 3 hours?
The event part is, let's see, it starts after the park closes, so that's at 9, and it went to
1.
1, so it's 4 hours. That's 4 hours.
Okay. So it's at Magic Kingdom, I can see it being more beneficial because it's easier to get around. Hollywood Studios is not big either, but Epcot, like you said, you couldn't make it back to Ratatouille in time because it's like a mile walk to get there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like everything is so spread out at Epcot. You need more time, really, if you're going to try to do it all. I don't know. I think at Hollywood Studios, you could do just about everything within 4 hours easily. And Magic Kingdom, the same thing. But Epcot's a little different because it's so big and spread out. So, I don't know.
So, another one of the hot takes that I'm just getting to, or I actually went back to, we've actually talked about before, was that they need to do more maintenance on the animatronics.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, totally.
We have seen that firsthand.
Add a penny sales tax or whatever to the rooms to put towards that, whatever it takes.
Here's the thing. It seems to have been lacking more recently, I guess. I can't explain it. They definitely need to put more towards that or into that.
Yeah.
In general. It's like they're selective, though. It's almost like they purposely hang some out to dry, like Dinosaur, for instance. It's like it's almost like they purposely hang it out to dry so they can change it.
Carousel of Progress is one that I wish they would update, but they're the animatronics are barely working, which I'm guessing though they are like super old if they're still using the same ones from the World's Fair. Obviously those are insanely old. I'm sure they've updated them a little bit, but Country Bear Jamboree is another one that I was gonna say. That whole show needs to be updated because the audio is so quiet. Do you remember?
Really?
Did you notice that last time you were there?
I was trying to think. When's the last time I watched the show?
The volume of the show is so low.
I didn't do it this past trip. I don't think I did it the time before. So
yeah,
I have to remember when's the last time I actually did Country Bears. So,
and I noticed this years ago too, back in like 2019. It was just the volume of the show just isn't very loud. So if the crowd gets into it, you can barely hear the audio of the show.
Huh.
It's pretty low.
Huh.
And of course the animatronics are not very, you know, but they're 50-year-old animatronics. So,
well, see, we know they have the capability and maybe it's a good sign. Maybe they're heading in this direction, but for anybody, I haven't personally seen this not in person anyway, but for anybody who has seen Sonny since he went down and came back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Sonny is like, he's moving as good as, like, ever. He's probably moving the best has, maybe since he was started, right?
Yeah.
He's very fluid.
That's good.
So maybe this is a sign that they are starting to do such things. I mean, matter of fact, he's probably moving with more speed than he ever did. They may have replaced him altogether, for all I know.
Yeah.
So,
well, usually when the news sites start posting like, oh, this is in this repair or whatever, they'll immediately start working on fixing it.
Right. Well, we all know Dinosaur was in rough shape. Well, we experienced it last time.
Oh, gosh.
It was sad.
Finally did something to it, but dang.
I had actually seen video prior to us going of that first dinosaur, you know, that's supposed to be eating that little one, right?
Yeah.
And how he, like, I don't think, has he moved in, like, years now, it seems like? Used to be when you first started to turn that corner there, he would be, like, you could see him consuming the whatever he's eating, right? You see it, moving, but now he's just, like, in one position.
Yes.
When you go by, he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Or like when the T-Rex is supposed to be like the first time where you first, not the T-Rex, excuse me, the Carnosaur.
Right, right.
The first time he shows up, he was supposed to be like, all right, he's just sitting there like,
he didn't
with his
move
eyes,
yet.
With his eyes closed even.
Yeah, it wasn't even moving.
It's like he was asleep.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
They improved it though, right? I mean, I remember seeing in the news that it was doing better.
Was it? Okay. Well, maybe we need to give
some
it another
of
shot.
Them.
Wait, another one that people commented on and it got better, right, was the three capilleros, right? Remember, because they went away for a while, and then they came back?
Right.
One of the things this video pointed out, was that it seems to be that Disneyland and Disneyland Paris don't seem to have this issue. They seem to actually keep theirs in working order. It seems to be Florida, for the most part, that has the issue.
I suppose, yeah.
You don't really see it as much in Disneyland. You know, they have a smaller area to cover.
True.
In California, but...
I don't think about it much, though. Yeah, I mean, I don't visit it as much, but I remember hearing recently Indy was in bad shape, though. Indiana Jones Adventure.
Recently?
Yeah. They finally closed it in March and just did a refurb to fix it.
You mean leading into that? I was about, when you say recently, I was like, have you not seen it?
I know, but I'm just saying, but leading up to that, it was almost as bad as Dinosaur. I mean, it was pretty rough. From what
maybe something about that ride.
Yeah, that ride system, whatever
well,
it is.
Well, I would kind of, I mean, me personally, I know that they're talking about maybe retheming that area, but I would have personally would have liked to have seen Dinosaur in its glory one last time. I doubt they're going to do it, though.
Probably not.
This one right here is interesting because I don't agree entirely.
Okay.
Space Mountain and Flight of Passage, they lump these two together for some reason, being overrated. And I'm like, okay, I don't quite understand how you can lump those two together and consider them overrated. Now, I have heard a few people that have thought that Flight of Passage was not as good as I think it is. Obviously, but I mean, a lot of people say it's just like another Soarin', pretty much. I was like, no, it's similar technology, but this is like one of those things where you take the technology and take it to the next level type deal.
Take it to the H&L, you know, a whole nother level.
Well, I mean,
callback.
It does. Flight of Passage does a way better job of being immersive than Soarin' does.
Oh, totally. I think Flight of Passage needs an update, though. I do feel like it's
in what way?
Like the film has probably worn out a little bit or something. Because it's a little, like the 3D effects aren't as vivid as I remember them being. So I'm not sure if something's wear and tear on the projectors or whatever. But
all of them need something like that at some point in time.
But the ride itself is still amazing. Like, there's no... That's one of the few rides that after a dozen or more rides on it, it hasn't really gone down in my book much. It's kind of like Guardians for me right now. It's still awesome every time I do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Rise, for example, it's kind of gone down a little bit. It's like it was amazing the first couple of times, and then it's like, okay. You know, it's fun, but it's not worth the hassle you have to do to skip the line for it.
Right. But the first part of that equation will say space.
Yeah.
You know, from when overrated. I got to thinking about it way back in the day, it was a popular ride. It always has been. But as far as, like, calling it overrated, I actually have to agree. For Magic Kingdom Space Mountain, at least, anyway.
Yeah, space
because
is one.
It's probably, it may be the original, but it's one of the worst versions, if not the worst version of Space Mountains.
Yeah. Some people like the front-to-back rockets, but I would prefer it to be, like, completely rebuilt, to be honest, and have side-by-side cars like Disneyland. But I don't know if that would ever happen. I don't know if that could ever happen, but... It needs,
well,
the track needs a redo because it is not smooth. It is not very smooth.
I think they're just about getting to the point where they're going to have to do something to the track. Because if I'm not mistaken, what was it they did? I'm trying to see here. I mean, you got to think it's 50 years old.
Yeah.
They had to install something a while back. I can't remember when. Something like they installed trim brakes to slow it down somewhat, to put less strain on the track, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like what they, you know how rocket rides put a lot of stress on the people mover track, so it ruined any hope of people mover coming back
right
at Disneyland. So in a similar vein, it was happening to Space Mountain's original track. I think they're getting close to having to reduce something to it, though. They're going to have to take it down for an extended refurbishment. They're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah.
And like you say, could they potentially make it a little bit wider and make it side by side? That would be nice if they could.
What I'd love to see, and maybe we should do an episode about this. So we've kind of done this before, but
yeah.
Armchair Imagineering. What I would do to it, and I know this would be insanely expensive, so they will never do this, but I would completely tear it out, start all over, and make it a dueling coaster in the dark with little moments where you can see each other, like cross paths or whatever. Of course, maybe that's a little too Tron-like, but I would love to see the two sides like crisscross more and have like more of a smoother track too.
Kind of do. They're like mirror images of each other already. You just can't see it.
Right.
Like when you get to the top, I mean, they don't go at the same time, I don't think. But when you get to the top, it does. Often. Like one goes off to the right and one goes off to the left.
Right.
Yeah, you're it's going the exact up same the, pattern.
If you did do it at the same time, you are going up the same way, but still. I would love to see it.
Supposedly, one side is more intense than the other, but I've never been able to tell.
Yeah, I haven't really noticed a difference.
Yeah, I've never really been able to see that.
I'm more worried I'm going to hit my head I feel like I have to scrunch down.
No, they don't have that.
As a fairly tall person.
But think about this, you know, because the Space Mountain has experienced long waits, right? So
yeah.
They would increase capacity, right, by doing side by side as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you had more people per car.
Right. That would increase capacity already. It would double the capacity, actually. Because I think they do the same number of, you know, I think they still do three rows, but it's just double seats.
Right.
So.
It is popular, but really I think the wait times are reflective more of the capacity, kind of like Peter Pan. Peter Pan, sure, it's popular, but more people probably ride Pirates per day than Peter Pan just because of capacity.
Maybe.
I bet that's true.
You got to think, Peter Pan is different than any of the other dark rides, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a suspended track, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which may account for part of the problem as to why they can't increase capacity. Like maybe they couldn't add a row or something like that, but maybe the suspension would not hold it or something if they...
Yeah.
There might be a possibility.
It's also 50 years old, so if you added a double-seater or something to the ships,
right.
It couldn't support the weight, yeah.
Yeah. I would kind of like to see, and again, this also was, I feel like this video just like agreed, like it went inside my head pretty much in a lot of these cases.
Really?
But I would like to see them redo Peter Pan to be similar to the one in Shanghai.
Right.
Have you seen the one in Shanghai?
But it's been a while. I know.
So it's like they took the original idea and they kind of made it a mixture of real effects like the original ride, but also some screens. So it was a combination of screens and the original effects. And it worked out to be more modern, to be better, I thought, when it was all said and done.
I say Peter Pan's probably another one where Disney World's is just about the worst. I'm trying to think if Disneyland's is better or not, but Disneyland Paris is a little bit better. Does Tokyo have one that's better? Peter Pan?
I'm not real sure.
Oh, yeah. Shanghai is bigger.
Odds are Tokyo does, because Tokyo would have had their pick of the litter at the time. Or the pick of the two American parks, anyway.
Yeah, Shanghai, yeah, okay, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it is definitely much better.
Yeah, it's probably the best Peter Pan.
Yeah, that's quite good. Similar in some ways.
Right, like I said, it's like they took the original concept and improved it almost. kind of like I said about the stuff that they've done with the Haunted Mansion without changing, they've made enhancements to the attraction instead of changing the attraction.
Yeah. And those animatronics in Peter Pan and Disney World are not great.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially the Peter Pan holding the helm at the end.
So, it, yeah, and the, not to mention the music is repetitive.
Yeah. Right.
As well as help the dialogue.
Help me.
Yeah.
Rush me, help me.
Yeah. I'm coming, Captain.
Me.
Yeah. That's all he ever says. I'm coming, Captain.
Right. Yeah, it's not great. The cue is better, but, you know.
Is it like the only dialogue is them two?
Yeah. Maybe it is.
Okay.
Hmm. It's a good point. Maybe it is.
And we will be right back.
Ah, teaching her how to drive. But Dad, why not use Greenlight to help her save for her own car? Mowing lawns and getting paid. She'll go from washing your car to flexing with her own. How? With Greenlight, the money app for families. Together, you can navigate the world of earning, saving, and investing. Because when you teach her to be smart about money, she'll go far. Invest in your best investment. Sign up today at greenlight.com.
This episode is also sponsored by Zencastr. We use Zencastr for traveling with a mouse, and we really enjoy how easy and user-friendly it is. You can record up to 4K video and high-quality audio, and they have backups, so you never have to worry about losing any of your audio. Go to Zencastr.com and use the promo code TWTM and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story with Zencastr.
And now, back to the show.
Okay, so another one is actually one we've discussed before on here. Hollywood Studios losing its identity, like,
sure.
It doesn't have one.
Yeah.
And apparently we're not the only ones, it seems like, because this is also a hot topic.
Yeah.
You know, saying that they took what it was and basically just, you know, threw up IP in there.
Yeah.
Even though the attractions they created and the lands they've created individually themselves are fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't all, it doesn't mesh together.
Right.
It's like you almost tried to make a version of Magic Kingdom that's just based on your non Walt Disney Pictures IP. Like you wanted it to be Pixar and Star Wars, like your other properties.
Yeah.
It's like the properties we purchased is what this is going to turn into pretty much.
Yeah. Conceptually, they don't fit in a studio park, meaning, you know, a movie studio park, which is what it originally was.
Right.
They don't fit, but it's no longer that.
You know, I love the Runaway Railway attraction.
Mm-hmm.
However, I still do miss the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah.
In the sense that it did kind of summarize. I mean, it was the whole reason they built the park, right? Originally, it was just going to be an attraction. And
right. At Epcot, full place.
Then it became a whole park.
Yeah.
Right. Then it became a whole park.
Yeah.
Around this attraction. And, you know, they could have updated that. But that one I do kind of blame on Chapek, I think. Because I know the way he talked about it whenever Railway was announced.
Yeah.
He actually made the comment, which was, to me, it was deaf because I don't think he understood what the fans were saying by original attraction concept. I think, obviously, in his mind, he thought that's what this was.
Yeah.
What he says, like, one of the original characters. I was like, no, that is not what the fan base was talking about.
Right.
I was like, you idiot.
Yes. But it's...
They mean...
Yeah.
Everest. Haunted Mansion.
Right, something new.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Something that does not exist in the film realm or the television realm already.
Right.
That is what they mean by original, the true meaning of the word.
Right.
You came up with it. You didn't come up with something on the backs of something you already own. That is what they meant. That is what they still mean. That is what I mean.
Yes, we...
Do you hear us, Bob Iger? If you care. Because I know they've recently said they're just going to strengthen doing IP stuff, right?
Yeah, so they're really committed to that at this point. Yes. That's their bread
and butter. I get it. That it needs to be there, but every single new thing they do does not need to be IP. It drives me insane.
I can tell. But that being said, they do have a lot of good IP that they're not doing anything with that I wish they would do more with, you know.
Well, they've only got so much space.
Right. That's their thought and argument is.
Yeah. Another thing we've griped about.
Yeah.
This has become a gripe session in some ways. Another thing we've griped about in the past or recently that I thought about whenever I saw Parkeology when they posted a tweet talking about the backside of
water.
Everest.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Did you see that photo?
That it's still themed?
Or
no?
Somewhat. I mean, it's not... It's at least they made an effort to.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it doesn't
look as
good. My point I was going to exactly.
I knew.
I was like, they at least made some sort of an effort to cover up the backside with something.
Right.
Instead of just seeing,
like,
cast iron or whatever it is.
Yeah, instead
you
of...
You can see holding up these spires.
Yeah.
From a lot of different angles. It is, like, the biggest eyesore. I mean, like, I remember looking at it from... the top of Grandestino Tower.
Yeah.
And thinking that, I was like, that looks terrible. Looking at it from the top of Riviera and being able to see it and thinking it looks terrible. I mean, how hard would it have been to cover that site up with a similar plaster or whatever it is you want to call it as the front side? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Or even the big blue building for Guardians, actually. I mean, that's still, that they could have done that even better.
Yeah. I mean, it actually blends in better than Galaxy's Edge, that's for sure. But it's still noticeable. It's not,
you don't see the guts of the building from it.
They did get rid of Harmonious Barges, so.
And the area in Hollywood Studios that really is missing an identity altogether is Animation Courtyard.
Yeah, it's just empty space, essentially.
It's practically a ghost town most of the time now because you got the launch bay, which really doesn't need to be there anymore.
It's only for character meets. Nobody does anything in there.
Then you got the Disney Junior dance right. party, whatever. And then you've got, is it even back open yet? Did they ever reopen The Voyage of the Little Mermaid? I don't think so.
Still not.
And then that's over there, and that's like the exact same technology as they've had since 1989.
Yeah, it's just an empty theater.
In that show.
Basically.
When it last operated, it was exactly the same.
It hadn't changed.
Even the film looked horrible.
Right. The only time I saw it recently, it was awful. Absolutely atrociously bad. And that opened in, what, like 92 or 3, something like that, the mermaid version?
No, it opened. The Little Mermaid, that's always been...
Well, it housed something else for the first couple of years. It was like that Muppets show.
Oh, right before, only until Muppet Vision, I think, was open. So it was very brief.
91 or 2
was
when the mermaid opened.
Yeah.
And it's been that since, so 30 years it's been the mermaid show. And it hasn't changed at all. So, yeah.
Well, and...
It's probably closed permanently now, though, basically.
Maybe. I don't know what they're going to put there. They're probably coming up with something to try to do with that courtyard area.
What they're going to do...
Like all of
it. Is they're going to basically make Pixar Pier east, and they're going to connect Toy Story Land...
Oh, gosh.
...to that area and basically make it a Pixar area. Because they already have on the other end that Pixar... Because you can meet Edna Mode now on the other end... As you're sort of just going to
extend
and
it.
They're just going to make it go all the way down that stretch. I guess you'll go around One Man's Dream and then whatever. They'll put some spinners in there, whatever. A Pixar area.
You know, I was just thinking, though, when we were talking about the film in there for The Voyage of the Little Mermaid. Had you noticed how, like, even on Disney Plus, that the 1989 or 89 Little Mermaid, how it, like, doesn't look... It's like they didn't rescue it or something.
It looks grainy.
If you go back and watch it, it looks it looks
on
odd.
Disney Plus, right? Is that what
I
you're
was
saying?
Like for an yeah, even looked, on Disney Plus, I was like,
bad.
So for an official film, of theirs that they've had in the vault and everything. I would have thought they would have had a better copy of it in reserve.
Well, that was the one that kicked off the Renaissance, so they probably weren't expecting it to. And so they're like, but once that hit, then it's like, okay, everything after this, let's preserve it.
Well, I was just thinking in my mind, I was like, how did this look better then than it does now in digital? You know, that's what I was thinking. And I noticed that too, because I could tell the difference between, say, like the original, like the theatrical Aladdin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the straight to home video ones, because they look like they were out of, right. If you go back and watch
Return
those
Jafar,
on Disney Plus. Yeah. I was like, they looked better in the 90s than they do on here.
Yeah.
They look like they came out of the 80s on here.
Yeah.
The way the quality's held up, I guess, because they didn't expect to be using those.
Right.
I mean, because I watched it not too long ago because, you know, Maddie, one thing led to another type deal, and we just watched the older ones, and I was like, man, this quality didn't hold up at all.
Yeah.
I guess it's like, you know, a film from the 90s now would be kind of like, at that time period, a film from the 60s, right?
So, right. If you watch a lot of movies from the 90s now, they have a look to them that maybe we're just used to the ultra high def movies of the last 10 years or so. But
that's only the first one I've noticed it with. Like, I'll give you an example. They just recently put the indie films out there. They look good.
Yeah.
And they're from the 80s.
I mean, they've worked hard. Lucasfilm works hard to preserve their movies.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say in Star Wars from the 70s and so on and so forth, but there's films from back then that still look fine. Superman, I see it. It's not on Disney Plus.
Yeah, there's certain ones.
So the last hot take, and I didn't agree with this at all.
Okay.
This is probably the worst one that was out there. It says, Animal Kingdom is not a good theme park. And I'm like, I have to disagree with that.
I think it's a good theme park. I don't think it's the best of, I mean, it's the worst of the four at Disney World.
See, if you're saying theme, I actually think it has the most consistent theme of all of them.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it's in terms of things to do. It feels like the least amount of things that you'd want to do.
Okay. So if you have fewer rides is what you're getting.
That's what I'm getting at.
Essentially.
Yeah. Well, it's like a mishmash between a zoo and a theme park.
Their catchphrase or whatever you want to call it when this was originally released was not a zoo, right? And they had the spelling N-O-T-A-Z-U.
Right.
Right. But because it involved animals, but it was not a zoo. It was more of a you're going into their environment type park. And it was all about them. And it was.
Right.
Obviously, the one theme that did not resonate with the guests was the river cruise.
Sure.
That nobody apparently got exactly what they were trying to accomplish there.
Right. I feel like, though, in the future, Animal Kingdom's going to suffer the same issue that Hollywood Studios does, which it's going to lose its identity. Because they're going to start shoving in IP in there. Like Dinoland is a disaster right now anyway. But it's going to be completely rethemed to something else.
That was the Hester and Chester thing. That was the worst theme part of the whole park anyway.
It was bad.
That was not a very good idea. That was one of those, Eisner ideas that didn't fly. Like, nobody got it. Nobody got the joke.
Right.
So to speak.
I think, and it's the joke itself makes sense, but for Disney to do it, everyone expects such high quality, like, you know, amazing detail and theming, and this is, like, kind of making fun of that in a way, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man, we're in this really immersive theme park. Hey, when do we get to Six Flags?
Right. It certainly does. You know. Yeah. And it's almost like it is kind of poking fun at that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, Primeval World was amusement park type attraction. Then, you know, you got Triceratops Spin.
Right. Off the shelf stuff.
Yeah.
You can find anywhere.
And then you've got Carnival Games.
Right. Which you have to pay for individually.
Again, you find that in your Six Flags.
Or just your state fair or county fair or whatever. Same stuff you'd find there. Which is like, God, I feel bad for the cast members that get that, have to do that job. That's got to suck.
But I mean, I guess I kind of get, like, people are calling it a half day park. Honestly, I think one of my funnest days in our last trip was Animal Kingdom. It was one of my most enjoyable days.
If there's certain things I love doing every time, for sure. I mean, safari to me is a must every time. Of course, Pandora's, you know, least flight of passage is a must. Satouli is a regular. Nomad Lounge now is a regular.
Is that a backhanded knock at Navi?
Yeah.
So, well, at least flight of passage is a must.
Right. I mean, I don't have a ton of problem. I mean, Navi's okay.
You just, but all you're saying is you just wouldn't wait long for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's just,
or at least not again.
It's kind of like, I don't know. It's not, there's better uses of your time than doing it.
I think that it's very immersive, actually.
Sure. It's okay.
It's part of the immersion.
It's all right.
But when you know, if you're going to break it down into, there's one animatronic or something like that in there, but it's an immersive attraction still.
Right. If they ran out of money.
Is there a lot to it? No, but I mean,
they blew their budget on the one animatronic, and it's like, okay, we'll just have to put screens everywhere. Let's make these lily pads move and make it look like something jumped on it. Like,
I don't know. I after doing it a few times, I've come to appreciate it more. I appreciate what they put into
it. That's a ride that has not gotten better for me over time. Whereas, like, Tron, for example, every time I ride it, I like it more.
And see, the guest opinion is not very high overall of Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably because it's too short, but. And you have to wait too long
You have to wait for something you have to wait a good while for something that only lasts like a minute. I mean,
I get why.
You know? And not only that, I think what it is after a lot of people are thinking, like, after the takeoff and that first loop and everything, like, after that, it's not that memorable.
Yeah, it's basically brake run.
With the exception,
dive into a turn, another brake run, dive into a turn, another brake run, dive into a turn, and you're done.
Yeah.
That's it. The indoor part's
I think the whole point of them doing this attraction when they thought of it was to, you know, really make it like you were in a race with one and eventually the other
crashes.
One obviously gets destroyed, win, crashes. Yeah. Congratulations, loser. I mean, user.
Yeah, exactly. But you take a ride, so knowing, because we saw Shanghai's Tron, so we knew it was going to be short and wasn't going to be much to it. And so,
right, still wanted to do it.
Right. But when Guardians opened, we were thinking, I mean, at least I was thinking, okay, it's going to be kind of short. It's not going to be a lot to it. It's an indoor coaster, so it can't be that big. It's going to be like Rock and Roller Coaster or Tron. It's going to be similar. But yet, somehow, they turned that ride into a really fun, very long for a coaster, for an indoor coaster experience that it feels like you feel like you really did something when you're on that ride versus, Tron, it's over so quick. It's like, oh, I wish I could do it twice in a row just to get like the same feeling that you get from riding Guardians once, you know, at the end. But anyway.
Well, I don't remember what episode. It was a long time ago, but you can find it. It's in recording. That was the one that I said I was looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Right. And rightfully so, because I had low expectations and it far exceeded them. It's definitely the best ride they've done this decade, I would say.
Well, it was the only one really of the new attractions in which they were doing something different.
Yeah.
Everything else was a carbon copy of elsewhere. Right.
Or a trackless ride, which they were really on this trackless ride thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, trackless rides are fine, but it's like you just take us into a room with a screen and then you take us into another room with something cool to see and then another room and another room and then it's over. Yeah.
Speaking of trackless rides.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of Rise, like visually?
My favorite part is going into the AT-AT room. The room with the two at it.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I think that's what everybody's like when they first go in there. It's like,
that
wow, it's like a
scale
wow
of it.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a wow moment seeing the
at-ats.
And
you're not in there long enough. I really wish I had more time in that room. If I could just walk around in that room, I would just be staring up there for like 10 minutes, like, wow.
Yeah. There's that. And the moment you walk off the transport.
That's what I was going to say, too. Those are the wow moments, because when...
Yeah. And no matter how many times you do it, it's still the same. It's like, you're like, you still jaw dropped almost into those scenes.
My favorite thing to do is take somebody who's not been on it yet and just watch their jaw go when they walk into that room. They're just like,
yeah,
what am I doing right now? This is insane.
That totally, like that scene there with the stormtroopers looks like it's right out of a movie.
Yeah. And
like you're in the Death Star or something.
The subtle music that they play.
Yes. Is,
yeah. It just, you feel like you're in a film. Yeah.
They did a great job of making that immersive
movie. Yeah. It's right there. Crazy. Yeah.
They didn't do the best job of making the queue themed.
Yeah. It's not great. They could have done a little bit better with that.
I guess in the sense that you're supposed to be secretive and then like the, you know, maybe that's what they were going for. So maybe that part does make sense.
Yeah.
I think if I'm going to have to wait in the type of line though, that I'm going to have to wait in for this, if I'm waiting the regular queue, I think I would have wanted a little more.
Yeah. If I'm waiting 2 hours for this thing, it needs to be better.
Yeah. It needs to have a little more to it.
Which I'm not going to wait 2 hours for. Smuggler's Run has a better queue and they did a good job.
Oh, most definitely.
Making you give you all these different angles of the Millennium Falcon. That's like the best idea. Let's just go up a level and then you see the top. Like you're down underneath it. You can kind of see all around it. And then you go up. You can kind of see eye level with it. And then you're like above it and around it. And it's the best.
You know, one thing they've started doing that I kind of hate, but I kind of don't in a way. But, you know, the pre-show for Smugglers, they kind of like don't even really do it anymore. Have you noticed that? It's like you're constantly coming in like halfway or a part of it, or it's already started, or it's like, and they'll go ahead and move you into the next room while it's still going.
Yeah. They just try to keep it moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen B mode Hondo for a while too. I haven't, the last couple of times it's been B mode Hondo.
Really? For you?
For me. I mean,
he was A mode for me.
Really? The week before? There. Dang.
Yeah. He was A-mode.
He
was B-mode when he went the week after? Wow.
Yeah, he was B-mode.
He was A-mode.
A big blanket and some boxes in front of him.
Yeah, but when you're talking about the track list, though, I mean, I was trying to think between Runaway and Rise. I honestly don't know which one I like the best. They're both very good. I mean, repeatability, it probably has to go to Runaway just because of all the different experiences you can have.
Yeah, but depending on which on the car you're in. Yeah, because Rise only has two.
Two options,
I don't want to be in the... I want to be in the one that's head-on, the AT-AT, not the one that's to the side. So I always hate it when I get the other one, which is... Is it the front car? Is that always... I always forget now.
I can't remember.
Yeah. And whereas Runaway Railway, I don't care which car I'm in. I kind of like being in different ones. It kind of slightly changes the experience.
Right, yeah.
And the other trackless one, you know, Ratatouille is good.
It was a carbon copy, but it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's just, it's not a neat ticket, but it's good. You know, I like the smells on that one more than anything else.
Right.
It's my favorite
part. I like how they make you feel like you're a rat, I guess, or the size of, or small, like by the props. Right.
Which, that's my favorite room in Ratatouille, is when you go into the pantry and you're never in that room long enough, so I like it when I'm the last mouse or rat in there.
You take that slight... It's like, we're talking about the difference between the two cars. Like, that one has a very small difference. The one that takes that little side... That's that little side route, just slightly side route memory, when that's this.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Everything else is the same.
I like... That's one of the coolest rooms, but yet you're in there for 8 seconds, if that, you know. So I hate that, but it's still fun. I mean, it's fine. The kids always love the part where you're, you know, basically like Runaway Railway, where you go into your little cubby and you're, you know, running around, and the guy, what's the guy's name, who's trying to get you?
I forgot. It's been a while since I watched the movie.
I know, I can't remember. But anyway, when he like busts his hand through and gets his hand stuck in the mousetrap and all that.
Yeah.
That they love that part. That's their favorite part. Anyway.
All right. You know, too, talking about the way it's like Michael Eisner over Bob Iger, that conversation.
Yeah.
It is funny how we, when Bob Chapek is in there, I think there were some comparisons made to Emperor Palpatine. However, it seems to be right. Iger's the one that has stayed well past his, or how was it Obi-Wan put it? He's like, he's managed to stay in power well past his time or something like that.
Right, whatever, right.
I mean,
I was like, there's a similarity there.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, when he talked about retiring, it was like, you know it, when it's time, right? And but now he's back for at least 4 more years, you know?
Yeah, and he made it sound like the process to get things back on track was just going to take longer than originally thought. Right,
that's exactly what they said. Yeah.
So,
or he said,
obviously, that's what the board wanted. The only thing I can figure, and I think we said this last week, is they must be potentially thinking about grooming DeMauro or someone like that.
Right, possibly.
That's the only reason I can think that they would take more time.
He's likable.
The other possibility is they want him to hang around to sell it.
Yeah, because people like him more than Chapek, obviously. We know for a fact that a lot of people hated Chapek. Like, studio execs hated him. And so now, if they are trying to sell to, say, Apple, for example, who had a better relationship with Steve Jobs than Bob Iger? And so that kind of relationship probably carries on to Tim Cook or whoever else at Apple probably still is very fond of Iger. So if that's going to happen, Iger's going to be the one that has to steer that deal.
Well, I mean, I know the sell to Apple always seems to come up. I don't know how likely that truly is personally.
Because they have the money for sure to do it and the relationship.
I think that's the only reason people will always throw that in there. I don't know how likely that would really be.
I mean, they already own, I mean, I'm assuming because of the Pixar deal, I don't know how that worked in terms of when Steve Jobs died.
Well,
what he owned of Disney, like, did it go to Apple? Did it just go to, like, I don't know where that, what happened, but they probably already have the means to do so easily of any other company. That's why it keeps coming up.
I'm still not completely sold that the company's in as good a shape as they still try to claim it is. I just don't,
Apple
I
tell, or
no, Disney. Disney.
Yeah, well, I think that's why I actually kind of would be excited if Apple bought them. I think, I don't think Apple would like break them apart or anything. I think they would actually give some development power to Disney, and they would actually put out some decent apps for once.
I was gonna say their IT department would immediately improve their website and everything. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, basically the site wouldn't be terrible and the
Are you
app
sure?
would work. Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. The app seems to work better for Android, I'm just saying.
Well, I guarantee you, Apple buys them, it's going to work better on Apple than anything else. guaranteed.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how realistic that is, truthfully. I will say this, what was funny, just to kind of wrap up the Iger thing, I kind of circled back to it.
Right.
But he talked about, like, fully going in on Hulu, right? Meaning he would have to buy out the remaining shares from
Comcast.
Exactly. What did Comcast do for the 20th Century Fox?
They raised the price or went in and made Disney outbid.
So do you not think that is going to cost a pretty penny to buy them out?
Yeah.
You know good and well it's going to if they do that.
Yeah. And Iger has bad blood with them, right? That's the other thing.
Apparently, he has some sort of competition with them for some reason, and no one knows why.
Yeah, there's something there.
Which, I don't know what it is.
Bob, I got to tell you, if you're worried about that competition, you got to look at Epic Universe because it is coming together at lightning speed.
Well, what I was about to say, though, is I was like, we talked about the Apple purchase, like, who says this out of the real possibility of selling to the competition?
Let's hope not. I don't think, I don't think he would let that happen.
No, he probably wouldn't.
But I'm telling you, if Apple bought them, they would have so much cash they could inject into the parks.
Or if they made a partnership with Apple, so to speak.
Could be. Either way, but think about it, you'd have Disney Plus and Apple TV merged. You'd have, you know, all this other stuff, and Apple has so much money, and the technology side of things would improve so much for Disney, which they need to do.
Here's the other question. Would Apple really want to do that? That's the other thing. I know they talk about people having the money to do it, but why would they want to do that? They're making so much money as it is by, right. especially with actually a lot less effort.
Well, I mean, they've dabbled into the movie industry, or the, you know, the TV and movie production industry. Disney already has everything they would ever need in that area if they want to make money to expanding there. So they would already have the catalog for Apple TV of Disney, merging those two together. They'd grow that. They would actually make it profitable.
Well, you say they have everything they would need, except for apparently there's a short. They're short on good ideas.
Well, but
there's been a few, but not many.
Well, I don't know. I actually don't think it would be a bad thing. Any other company, I'd be very worried. But Apple, I think, has a, at least a relationship that goes all the way back to Pixar. And so that's 30 plus years. So
it will be interesting to see how this all pans out. But I got to be honest. I know we're talking about attendance being a little down, but I think he kind of downplayed it.
Oh, he definitely downplayed it because he was talking about how people didn't come on 4th of July because it was hot.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he
was like,
saying.
Yeah.
It was like 100 degree humidity or whatever.
Like it was, like it's the only time that...
It's that hot in Orlando.
It's the only time in the 50-year history of Walt Disney World that it's been 100 degrees on the 4th of July.
Yeah, right. Talk about the opening day of Disneyland. It was like 100 degrees that day. But
so,
a ton of people showed up. So,
I don't think that's ever going to be a reason that people didn't show up.
Yeah. I had to laugh at that when he was like, it was like 100 degrees, you know.
I don't even think he believed that. He just said that was an answer.
Right. That was an answer to a question, but
right,
not a good one.
But anyway, in closing, so to speak, with this,
yeah,
I do think there is an area for concern. They're probably going to see a dip in the near future. A couple of reasons, economy being one. But I think the demand is actually going to go down just because, I don't know, it just doesn't feel the same. I can't explain it. The whole experience, people are going to be looking at it like, well, I've just did this. And I don't think the way things worked during the 50th did them any favors. Yeah, they had a lot of people going during it, but I don't think they're going to get a lot of repeat business out of it, honestly. There might be some.
I think a lot of people were expecting more.
Yeah.
The 50th that they didn't get, and they're just like, okay, why would I go back right now? Like,
yeah, I don't think I think a lot of the people they lured there for the 50th didn't get a good enough experience for repeat business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a significant amount didn't.
Mm-mm.
We'll see how time goes. They don't act like they're concerned, so.
Yeah. Well, I will say this.
Who knows?
I looked at hotel dates in November for a friend today, and it was pretty booked up, everything I could find. It was like that.
What dates in November?
It was that sweet spot weekend, you know, between, it was like the, we always talk about that. I think it was like the 9th through the 12th or something, 8th through the 12th or whatever it was, that kind of.
Well, see, that's the problem that I was talking about.
First party nights too.
Yeah, but that's the problem that we were talking about that's come about when people ask about when's the best time to go, right? You never know because everybody's wanting to know when the best time to go. And then all of a sudden those people try to pick those times and it's no longer the best time to go.
Yeah.
And they would say, oh, surely there's not enough people that can make that kind of an impact. Have you seen how easily that information is out there now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I hear all these sites like Touring Plan saying that they don't think that they have that type of an impact. Well, if you're basing it on your subscribers, I guarantee you I could right now, if I wanted to, I could like post my login information. And every last one of those people could use it and not have a problem using it. Do you see what I mean?
Sure, right.
But the sharing of the logins, I guarantee you, happens way more than they realize.
Sure. It's that, but also people who do have logins will make blog posts about it or post on social media. The word gets out easily.
Right. Even 20 years ago,
Yeah.
There were multiple message boards, and they were not all the same people.
Yeah. Right.
Discussing this stuff.
And now there's dozens of podcasts, more probably hundreds at this point. Podcasts.
I was gonna say, now the information's even more out
YouTube
there.
YouTube channels, like dozens of vloggers that post out all the time.
TikTok's giving away all the secrets.
Yeah. Like, right. Gosh. But it's so much is out there now that, for one, it's oversaturated. Two, there's no seasons now where it's not busy. There's maybe a few days here and there.
Right. You just have to get lucky. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. So now I'm really wrapping this up since we've got all this information here.
Put a bow on it.
So, if you would like to find us in other places or more, you can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel, which the Toronto video that I did during my vacation has gotten a little bit of traction going right there. It seems like you'll enjoy it. Appreciate that. Where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can find links to all those things and more there. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you want to have some assistance booking your next Disney trip, you can use our travel agent friend. Her info is also on our website, travelingwiththemouse.com.
So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. Bye.
To Disney World. Bye now.